Half past six. What a beautiful night. We're at the top of the tower, and it's the Radio City Legends. You can probably hear in the background Sharpie suffering a bit of hay fever there. Sneezing away. We've got Sharpie. Aldo's back as well. It must be summer. Whatever you want to talk to the boys about, 01514720967. We had awards handed out last night and more awards decided upon today. Good evening, gents. You okay?
Yep. Steve.
So today we had the Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year Awards, and Raheem Sterling took the men's award, 62% of the vote. But of course, last night the PFA award went to the big man, Virgil van Dijk.
I think if you ask myself and Sharpie, van Dijk, that's the more prestigious award. Because some of the press haven't got a clue what they're writing about. We know the ones, Sharpie. Some of them are useless. But for your own players to vote, Van Dijk quite rightly got it, in my opinion, many others' opinion. But it should be done at the end of the season, that one.
Yeah.
It should be done at the end of the season.
That would be better, would it, Sharpie?
Yeah, so how can you judge before the end of the season? Surely at the end of the day, the last week of the season, they should put the votes in and say, but it's obviously to do with times and when they can have their dinner and everything else.
Yeah.
But again, and listen, you wanted to celebrate at the end of the season, and if he's got the award, fantastic. You know, nowadays when it was there, the voting was still in January, but, you know, everybody went to the awards. It was a good social and everything else. But I just think voting so early, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, Hazard, to me, we talked about it last week, not even being in the team of the year.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. So...
And Paul Pogba being in the team of the year.
That's the one that you would have swapped. All the rest, they have to say it. I tend to agree with. You know, but Pogba, you know, he had like a really good couple of months when Mourinho went. And that's as soon as the voting was in, he went back to his old self, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, so, anyway. But for me, I think across the board, you know, Sterling's done really well this year, as a lot of City players and Liverpool players, but I think the major reason why Liverpool like knocking on the door of Manchester City is what Virgil van Dijk's brought to the club. The gaps what he's filled point-wise is pretty amazing.
Well, you only had to look at the team of the year, the PFA team of the year. Yeah. So it was six City players, four Liverpool players. It really is a two-club domination, isn't it, in this Premier League?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At the moment. Have you felt it's ever been so much that way?
I don't. Well, for a team to have so many points Liverpool are going to get, I can't see it. I think, you know, we're going to finish second now. They'll win the last two games. It shows you, you know, it's pretty ridiculous.
But you just look at the league table now, and you look at the goals against, and you judge Man City and Liverpool about going forward and scoring goals and all that kind of being free flowing and everything else. But City have conceded 22, Liverpool have conceded 20.
Yeah, but City of late, hardly, they've had so many clean sheets of late,
that's amazing, because then you go to third place, Tottenham have conceded 36.
Yeah.
And then you're going up and up and up and 39 as you go further down the table. But to concede only 20 goals, Liverpool, and 22 Man City, considering they're supposed to be so open and free-flowing and everything else, just tells you that as a team, they've got it right, you know, in fact, the goal scored as well.
And also, Sharpie, psychologically, you know, watched Liverpool every game, obviously, seen City loads of game. Teams go out with a strategy not to attack them because they're scared of getting caught out with the pace and the attacking ability of both sides. So, you know, you look at Burnley, they respect them, they defended brilliantly, I thought. You know, a little bit too much, it was like attacking defence. But they didn't get at City. And that's what happened to Liverpool. You've seen it, Steve. You go all their games. They come. And they're beaten psychologically before the game started, you know. And that's the reason why I think the domination is you know, because the teams don't really come and have a go.
Sometimes you've got to take a chance. And listen, on paper you say, Man City, far better players, better team, blah, blah, blah. But Burnley at home, I sat there and I'm thinking, right, okay, when City got the ball, they all retreated and was living behind the ball and trying to make it. And I can fully understand that. But at home, have a go. You know, we have a go more. Like, you know, and I just think, listen, you don't want to get beat 5-6. I'm not saying that. But I'm just thinking, at Burnley at home, I'm thinking, you've got your forwards up there. Get the ball forward as much as you possibly can. You know, have a real good go and take chances. But they didn't. And listen, City stuttered, I thought. They came more and more into the game. Only looked to be one winner. But I just thought for Burnley, you know, I spoke to a guy who was coming back from Milan the other day. He was a Lazio fan and a Burnley fan, and he says, considering the start of the season they had,
done well,
you know, they've done well to it, and he says, but the football is like, wow, it's just like launch it as far as you can. Yeah. And I think that's why City brought in company, just to deal with that kind of thing.
We ended up with four centre-halves, didn't need to come back, the last 10 minutes where they were throwing the ball. But where Burnley struggle, obviously, with the quality they've got, to keep the ball.
Yeah.
Possession-wise, they couldn't keep the ball. And they were just booting it up. They had one player left up front and they were trying to hit him all the time. And when he didn't, it just kept on coming and coming. It was like a tide coming and coming. But if they would have tried to play the ball, two, three or four passes, because the amount of people City took forward, they'd have had a chance, but they didn't have the capabilities of doing so, unfortunately. But they give 100%, you can't knock them for that.
What's this idea of being a Lazio and a Burnley fan, Charlie? You just threw that in the mix, didn't you? Why are they connected?
I don't know. He just said he was over watching Lazio.
I'd rather watch.
I thought that was a strange one, because they beat Milan and Milan the other week, last week, 1-0 in the Cup.
Half scarf, Lazio Burnley.
No, it doesn't work like that. Lazio ultra scarf. But it was just a strange one.
Right, the conspiracy theorists will be looking ahead to next weekend and going, there's two ex-Liverpool managers involved in deciding this title or helping decide it. So do either of you think that these managers will have a certain inclination, or will they both just be all out to win these games?
Yeah.
So Brendan against Man City and Rafa against Liverpool.
First of all, Brendan Rodgers, for Leicester City, he would love to win Manchester City. Of course he would. And do Liverpool a favour. Of course he would. Rafa Benitez, no, he had some good years at Liverpool. He's gone. It's been done and dusted. He's probably got feelings for Liverpool, but he's probably got more feelings for Newcastle now. Mm. And he'll want to win it for Newcastle United.
I don't know if he's got any feelings here.
Well, for the fans.
Open the summer,
for the fans. So I can't see. Anyway, you won't get no favours, Liverpool, from Manchester City or Rafa Benitez, without a shadow of a doubt.
I think Leicester going to City will be an open game. I can't see Brendan Rodgers being defensive.
Yeah,
and I think
it'll
be an open game. They've got the pace of Vardy, who could cause them problems. I don't know whether they'll play Kompany. They might bring Stones back in, who's been a little bit lackluster, if it's the truth be told. So it's an interesting one. But I think if they go toe-to-toe, which I think they will do, Leicester, it'll be an open game. I think City was shaded. Newcastle, on the other hand, I can't see them going toe-to-toe.
No,
Liverpool.
They won't. No,
I think they'll go and
oh, no, it'll be four at the back, five in midfield, and maybe try and catch you on the break.
Six in midfield, probably, four, six north.
And I think they'll try and do that, and that's the way they are. So I think it's... But then, with some of the callers coming in as well and thinking about Liverpool, got the easy running, those two last games, whatever time of the season, for both teams, ain't easy. Ain't easy. So whilst John thinks it's all over, I'm not so sure.
Right, OK, maybe there might be a turn late on. What about Everton at the weekend? So 0-0 at Crystal Palace.
Should have won, by all accounts. Had the opportunity, I think, that they would work twice.
Your manager wants European football. He's publicly stated this club should be in Europe.
They should do, and I think that's what he got to aim for. But, I think the results over the weekend, made it extremely difficult. But they've got two games to go now. They've got Burnley on Friday night, the last home game, and then obviously Tottenham away. So it'll be tough and it'll be difficult. I think, at the end of the season, I think you all got to sit down and just sit and say, right, okay, fair enough. Has there been improvements? What's been the improvements? Where we can go next year? And I say, that's it. As I said all along, it's a big summer. But the game on Saturday was Crystal Palace. It's always a tough place to go, although they haven't got a great home record. But overall, by what I've heard and what I've seen, I think Everton shaded it and deserved to win it.
Right, you want to talk to the boys on anything, 4720967. Before you get to the callers, just wanted to reflect, first of all, on this Leeds-Aston Villa game.
The
most amazing incident go on. So Aston Villa, Jonathan Codger gets injured, goes to the ground. Tyler Roberts collects the ball for Leeds, but refuses to kick it out. Even though at one point it looked like he'd slowed down, like he decided, mentally, I should really do the right thing. Yeah. But then he sees his mate down the line. And so he passes it to Matthias Klick.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthias Klick goes,
I'll
have a go at this. Powers the ball in. Hell erupts, doesn't it? Everyone goes, that wasn't very sportsmanlike. In the middle of all that, El Ghazi gets sent off for nothing because it looked like there was a feigned injury.
Yeah, because Rescinded that.
And then Marco Bielsa hands one of the greatest pieces of sportsmanship you're ever likely to see on a football field by telling all his Leeds players, stand still and let Villa score. Except for one Villa player, Janssen. Who's there going, oh, I don't like this, isn't he? Like he could control his body.
He tried to half-heartedly kick the ball away, didn't he?
Yeah. Would all this have been different? I put it to Sharpie in the office before. I said, if Leeds were 3 points or 2 points behind Sheffield United... And they weren't, because Sheffield United have got the last automatic promotion position. Would Bielsa really have done that?
Don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Would you have
done
it, John? Would you have done it?
You're talking about the same bloke that's been spying on teams. Yeah. But hey, he got himself a decent name for doing it there. It's a tough one. It's that grey area again, because it wasn't a head injury. He's gone down, you know what I mean? If it's a clash of heads, then yeah, you know, kick the ball out of play.
Listen, how many times have we been at games and you're on the attack and then you kick it out and you go, what have you kicked out for?
I
still think that should be in the referee. Referee's got to make
He's got to make the decision, hasn't he?
He's got to make the decision. You've got to. What's the thing you're always saying? Play to the whistle.
Yeah.
Play to the whistle.
Yeah, if he gives it out, the referee and thinks, you know, it's not, you know, that the 2 hours like you love doing and they get assist themselves, don't they? If it goes in and there, then perhaps that's a way around it. But until something's done, it's still a grey area, you know, where, you know, people see you should kick it out. There's that enamoured Sharpie sometimes going, there's nothing wrong with him, keep on going. Yeah. You know, remember Drogba?
So the boy that was injured at the weekend, they should have kicked him out, did he continue?
Yeah.
What, the Villa player?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all right.
He was fine. But actually, and I think the problem lies with Tyler Roberts, who ran away with the ball first of all, because he indicated to everyone that he was going to stop, but then almost thought, someone else can make this decision.
Yeah,
he had a little
shuffle, didn't he? No, go on.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
But of course, Marco Bielsa, a massive hothead, so he screams on the pitch to all of them. I mean, you were a hothead. Yeah. You know, would you have screamed to all your players,
I don't know,
let them through?
I'm not sure, Steve.
Let them just score this goal.
After what happened.
See if it was a scrappy goal, but the boy scored an absolute worldy goal.
He'd
be gutted, wouldn't he? I'm not giving you that. You'd be absolutely gutted.
Of course, we are talking to the man who fielded 12 players for Tranmere once.
That 4-4-4 for me.
It works, that, doesn't it? 0151 472 0967 if you'd like to talk about anything that we've mentioned so far. Let's get some of the callers. Going to start with Liverpool. Massive week as well with Barcelona. Let's welcome Kev, first of all. Good evening, Kev.
Hi, good evening, lads.
Hello, Kev.
Yeah. Oh, you mentioned Barcelona. You've gone on for 10 minutes talking about everything else apart from Barcelona. People are forgetting we've been playing Barcelona. You know what I mean? But going back to the title race, I don't think it's over yet. I really don't. I think something's going to happen. You're talking about, you know, is it Rodgers going to do us a favour? Is he going to win us the league when he couldn't do it as a manager? He was so close in 2014. Is he going to do it for Leicester? And I'm quite happy that Brighton are probably safe, because I think they'll be more relaxed. And don't forget, Brighton got knocked out by Man City in a semi-final, so they won't make one a bit of revenge.
Good point.
But having said that, we still got to beat Newcastle. We beat Newcastle. We're bound to beat Wolves, because even if we're not beating Wolves, Connor Cody's going to come up with an own goal anyway. But, you know, we can talk about the games, you know, the drawn games of this game. To go through a season only losing 1 point, and only dropping only losing one game and dropping 17 points is ridiculous if you don't win the league.
Yeah,
but
I agree, yeah.
The games between us and City, they were the games that will decide the league, because the simple thing is, for me, if we win it, Man City fans will look back to the Mahrez penalty miss at Anfield. They said, we scored that, we've got 3 points. We would have won the league with that. And then we can go back to our game against Etihad with 2 instances. Company should have been sent off when it was 0-0. And then, remember when they cleared the ball off the line for Salah? And it was like a millimetre on the line?
Yeah.
That's how close we were to possibly getting 1 point or even 3 points.
And that
would have given us the league, you know what I mean? Okay, we should have beat Leicester. Penalty decision. We can go back all over the games, but, you know, those games between us were great. And to be honest, for City, I think they've won 12 on the bounce now. That's some going. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the record is, I'll tell you what, but... to what they've done, you know, and I couldn't see them winning all the games. I thought they were going to have let up, but you've got to look at what Liverpool have done on the back of that, you know, since the Everton and Man United draws. You know, we've been phenomenal, absolutely ground results out, played really well, you know, took teams apart as well in between, and done everything what's been asked, and matched City toe to toe. But yeah. You know, we'll have to just wait and see. You know, I'm a pessimist.
It's not over.
You know, no, it's never over because things happen in football. Yeah. You know, I always say Istanbul. That was over half time. That was over. All done and dusted. Matter of how many we're going to get beat, or you know, to just keep them down to damage limitations. Yeah. So things can happen, but I just can't see. I think they're far too strong, City.
Well, they're strong, but we're strong as well. But don't you remember
Diego?
You know what I mean? That whole season went down to the last minute of injury time.
Yeah, that was against QPR, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it can happen. You never know what's going on. We just got to win our games and hope that City.
That's all you can do. That's all we have been doing. You know. And as you say, there's a small matter of going to Barcelona on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, for another competition, you know, which we've been all looking at the Premier League, but the lads, like, slowly but surely have got themselves to the semi-final of the Champions League, which is more prestigious than the Premiership. It's just that we haven't won the Premiership for so long, and we all know, we you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the programme on BT Sports, so you're a fan of Fan TV or something like that. They had about a week or so ago, they had three Man City fans, three Liverpool fans all facing each other.
Yeah, no.
And all three Man City fans said, we want the Champions League. And all three Liverpool fans said, we want the Premier League.
Well, that's about right.
That's it.
You know, but...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, you've been plenty of banter the last week or so, you know. But City is still, you know, still miles away from getting anywhere near that Champions League, you know.
Yeah.
Only got the semis once. There you go. So we've five times.
I think
it's the semis, I think.
What's that?
Was it not the quarters?
Sorry, that was that.
Have City got to the semis? I thought it was the quarters.
It didn't have been the semis, then there you go.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Sharpie, let's just bring you in here. Is it any consolation to finish with like 97 points if you finish second?
No.
Does anyone ever remember you for finishing with 97 points?
No.
Right. I think so the players are finishing.
No, the players. Everybody wants to win. It's as simple as that, and it doesn't matter. And years gone by and years to come, they won't. You might get the odd. Oh, we came really close that year. Yeah, we did really well. That's it.
That's not what you want to be remembered for, is it?
Listen, whoever loses it is going to be tough on them because they've performed ever so well, the both teams over the season. But what I'm saying is, in 20 years' time, when somebody asks you who won the league in 2018-19, if it was Man City, nobody will remember, I'll tell you what, but Liverpool pushed them closer. If Liverpool win it, nobody will say, oh, Man City pushed them close. Mm. But listen, that's taking nothing away from the fact it's been a fantastic fight for the title. Mm. It's going to go at possibly the last game. But listen,
you see, it's a different circumstance. But of course, John, when you were playing Arsenal in that final game, you never want to reflect on that, really, do you? I know when we bring it up, you don't want to talk about it.
No.
So you just wonder whether these Liverpool players, should it happen to them in that way, they might feel a little bit sort
of. If Liverpool lose the league, every one of their players will be gutted. Absolutely gutted, because that's what you want to do. You want to win things. You want to go and play to win things. Mm. You know, it's unlucky if they come second, but that's no good to them. You can't do much
more than what they've done.
Exactly.
You just got, as you say, one loss, you know, the draws. You just can't. It's just ridiculous. It's so frustrating. But that's how Manchester City monopolised. You know, they've got themselves the best players. They've spent more money than over the last 10 years. They've got the best coach, you know, the best setups. They've got everything. And they've just built this empire out of nothing, you know.
The Invincibles, when they done it, John, Arsenal.
Yeah.
How many games did they win? Did we know? Or did they draw so many or whatever?
I'm not sure.
Is it a better record? You know, Liverpool got a better record this year.
I think got more points. I think they got more points than what they actually
got.
More wins.
No, so I think they had a lot of draws.
They did, but they didn't get beat, did they?
No, they didn't get beat.
That's right,
Boys, thank you, Kev. Thank you as well for being our first caller. We're going to shift on. 0151 472 0967. Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. Radio City Legends, good evening. 7 minutes to seven. I'm Steve Hothersall. John Aldridge and Graham Sharp in the studio. Let's just switch sports very quickly. The Hero Challenge is coming to Liverpool. You boys seen this on the telly before? Mm. You would have done, Sharp, you won't. You see, wipe the ball over the water into...
Wanted me to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
What, this time round?
Yeah, wanted me, Robbie.
You declined?
It was Everton against Liverpool.
They didn't invite John with John's skills.
It's in the dock, isn't it? It's in the dock.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a floating green. It's a floating green.
Oh, it's a golf.
So you get some proper pros in as well. Yeah, so, but they wanted an Everton-Liverpool thing, Robbie. was doing it for Liverpool, I think. I don't know how he's got on.
He's on to Australia now, Robbie.
Oh, well, yeah, he's not doing it then, is he?
Do you know what? He hasn't yet. I just passed him on the road before.
Oh, was he?
But this is taking place on the same day as Liverpool-Barcelona. So this is Tuesday the 7th of May at Prince's Dock at Liverpool Waters. And here at Radio City, you can win your way to Hero VIP hospitality at the Malmaison. Golf like you've never seen it before. So head to radiocity.co.uk. Some of the world's leading players, including Tommy Fleetwood, are going to go head-to-head in the ultimate one-hole playoff. I think maybe Thomas Bjorn or Lee Westwood might be involved as well. So for all the info and a chance to win, get to our website, radiocity.co.uk. And Sharpie's still explaining to John
how big the green is.
It's not the biggest, but it's putting obviously into like scoring zones. Mm. So closer to the pin, say 20 points, 5 points for the outside, whatever kind of thing. Now listen, it's a good kind of thing, but you could embarrass yourself.
Right. Okay, head to the website, have a look at some more details on that one. Let's get back to the phone lines. Radio City Legends, 4720967. Blues, do you want a place in Europe? Let's have a chat with Mike. Evening, Mike.
Evening, lads, you okay?
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. In regards to Europe, I think after the weekend, I think potentially now it has gone. That 4-point gap to Wolves is going to be difficult with they're playing Fulham next at home. I think I fully expect a Wolves win. We've got not a bad home game to finish on, but then Tottenham away is going to be a tough game. I was all for trying to get it into Europe. I do think it helps to attract a certain level of player. Yeah. However, we understand the negatives that come with it in regards we saw under Ronald Koeman when we started the season so early, and the impact it has been. We were the same this season. It can impact quite negatively on the on the side. I don't think it'll do us any harm to have another season with no European qualifications to get a few more players in playing the system. I think that will help us in the long run to hopefully be able to qualify over the next sort of 12 months, 24 months, next couple of seasons.
Mike, I think you're spot on. I think everything you said, you're spot on. And I think, you know, I think it's time just to sit back and reflect. You know, I'm the same opinion as you. I think it's beyond us now. But that's not to say that we're going to try and win our next two games. But I'm the same opinion. Let's sit back, reflect, realise it's going to have to be a busy summer for Marcel Brands in particular to negotiate transfers in and out. You know, we've talked about it before, about the players that are coming back to the club from loan spells. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be interesting. But I think we've got to sit back and take stock and say, what was this season all about? I said, listen, I don't think it was great. I think we kind of got better as the season wore on. We won some important games. But, you know, you've now got to set your standards. And, you know, the players will be told that. And it's up to them to start the next season. Obviously, it's important that we try and get the likes of Gomez and Kurt Zouma to stay at the football club. If we can do that, I think we'll be better for it. And then it's a case of just kind of bringing new people in and trying to move up that table and qualify for Europe, certainly next year.
Yeah, I think, like you say, Gomez and Zouma are probably key to that for me. Yeah. You know, the two of them have both improved as the season's gone on. Zouma, for me, is now pretty indispensable. I don't know who else you could get in at that kind of level and that kind of age, who's as good as him. I think if we would like Gomez in the side on Saturday, where we've struggled to bring down these sides, you know, like a Palace, we've had obviously Huddersfield at home, Newcastle at home, teams who don't particularly want to come and play. A Gomez in that particular side in his kind of form could have potentially unlocked the Palace defence. But we have to take into account the weekend as well. The weather was poor. Very little has been made of that. Watching the game, the weather was appalling. And
Mike, don't you be like, you're sounding like a red now. They blame the wind, the dry pitch.
I've heard it's going to be quite windy on Wednesday over in Barcelona, so I'm sure you're going to have that excuse. Don't worry about that. But no, I do think that the weather did impact a little bit. But we played some lovely football at times. You know, from back to the midfield, it was just unfortunate. We had 22 shots with only three on target. That's the tale of the game as well. Yeah. Really, you know.
Would you look to be in the summer? Would you look to strengthen up front? Do you think that's a priority?
I think we've got to. I'm a big fan of Calvert-Lewin in terms of what he's done, his development. Yeah. You know, there's a lot made of the fact that he's not an out-and-out goal scorer. Mm-hmm. Let's bear in mind, the kid used to play centre midfield. Mm. It's probably one of the hardest jobs on the pitches to play the lone striker role, and have that pressure on your shoulders. I think to bring someone in, I think someone like a Josh King from Bournemouth, 27 years of age, similar to Calvert-Lewin in regard to that strength, the pace, and the power, a bit more proven at this level. He's got, I think, 2 years left on a deal at Bournemouth. I think he's someone who we could potentially look to get. He would do a really good job, and he'd help to develop Calvert-Lewin and take that pressure off him as well.
Yeah, good shout.
Are there any concrete targets at the moment?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, Steve. Listen, I think if you ask any Evertonian, they would like to see, as we talked about, Gomez and Zouma. Mm. Zouma goes back to Chelsea. We don't know what the situation is with Chelsea. They could turn around and say, well, get Yerry Mina there, you know, who we haven't seen an awful lot of this season due to injury. They paid a lot of money for him. He could maybe fill that gap of if he goes back to Chelsea, Zouma. So we'll just have to wait and see. But
is one of your big pieces of business as well whether Idrissa Gueye actually stays or goes? Had a lot of praise for Idrissa Gueye in the past couple of months.
Yeah, I know, but listen, let's wait and see.
This was a want-away player, wasn't it?
The good thing about him, he never downed tools. You know, if we were led to believe that PSG were in for him, blah, 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 they wanted to sign him, he certainly never downed tools. Yeah. And I think that's all credit to the boy. Listen, we'll have to wait and see what happens in the summer. I don't know if something's been promised to him or whatever. But would you keep him? Yeah, of course you would. But I think the two boys we talk about, I think if we could get them on board, I think, you know, that's a good step forward.
That would be big. Any other names, Mike, out there you'd be interested in?
I think it's really, really difficult. I think we need to target certain areas. I think cover right back is probably key. As we said, then a centre forward, depending on a Idrissa Gueye, you would think, you know, the second half of the season since, unbelievably, he wanted that move to PSG. He's gone to a different level. He works hard. He works for the team. If he goes, he's a massive loss. And for me, trying to get someone to replace him is going to be difficult. So I think it all depends on how the transfers out of the club go. There is key to income as well for me.
Mike, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. Great
Cheers,
points. Exactly what Coutinho did, though, when he couldn't go, raised his game. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Some players do react like that. Let's get another Red on board. Get some thoughts on that. People, Reds want to talk about the title race, not the Barcelona game. Fair enough. Let's talk with Kenny. Evening, Kenny. Oh, no, we're going to have to move him. Mm-hmm. Hang on. There we go. We've got him on the right fader now. Evening, Kenny.
Hello there.
There you go. You got Aldo. What's on your mind?
Hi, Ken.
Hello, John. How are you? Okay.
All right, mate. Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Not wish I was going to Barca, mate. Yeah, that'd be a good save, wouldn't it?
Certainly would. It's a lovely place, isn't it?
It is nice. Yeah, it's nice. But listen, I was ringing for John. I know, obviously, everyone's a little bit, as if we're sort of, I don't know, giving up a little bit of the lead.
Frustrated.
Yeah, frustrated is probably the way. Well, frustrated and proper proud of the team as well. And same thing.
Yeah, agree.
You know, let's not forget, John, they've absolutely done everyone proud this season. And I just hoping we all just get over the line on one of the two, if not the two. Because I just think we deserve it, John, to be honest with you. Because they've been a credit. To push City all the way, as far as we can do. You know, we cannot do anymore. And I don't know, it's just been a joy this season. We're going places now, John, hopefully. And there's just something at the end of it. I know Graham was saying before, it's all about winning, it is as well, but I can still look back on the season with pride.
Yeah,
you know, the
absolutely,
players.
100%. The games, you know, have enjoyed. The runs with, all right, the two cups we went out of, it doesn't matter about that now because, that, you know, that's history. But, you know, in the league, phenomenal. Absolutely. You look at all the 18 league championships we have actually won. We haven't got these amounts of points, you know, to be quite honest. Mm. That shows how incredible they've been. But it's one of those years where, you know, unfortunately, you know, City, you know, without Liverpool in the last couple of years, you know, and last year it was won by a candle.
It'd be the same again. Yeah, we'd be like the Scottish League, but no disrespect.
Absolutely,
it'd be
awful. That's the way. That's the way.
Enough, Ken. Hold on. The Scottish League's not that bad.
But going back to the way,
You're right, it is.
How it's been monopolised, you know, and obviously the fair play has to come in, you know, somewhere. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens to Manchester City down the way next season. But the damage has been done. They're there now, and I tell you what, they're going to be there for a long time.
But the only thing I would say to John and Kenny as well, and and Liverpool are in a good place because United are in a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
I'd say Chelsea are in a bit of a mess.
Yep.
You don't know what's happening in either clubs. I think Arsenal is in a bit of a mess, yep, although this guy has kind of turned it round.
Yeah.
Look, Tottenham are
stable.
Tottenham will be interesting simply because they've moved into the new stadium. You don't know what they're going to do in terms of money to maybe push on to the next level. So of the four clubs that you would say that are rivaling the Liverpool and Man City, they've all got problems.
Liverpool
and City can, as John said, City might have a fair play thing against them to stop them signing. But it's Liverpool in a situation where you think they're only going to get stronger. They're in a far better place than any one of the other ones that I've just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's very important, you know, to get to the Champions League final, you know, for obviously, you know, the money, the revenue is going to bring in to buy the players.
I'm bringing new players in. You know that just attracts bigger and better players.
Absolutely, 100%.
I mean, I don't know obviously where we're going to strengthen for next season because, I mean, how do you drop someone from this?
No,
squad?
But
I don't know.
What you've got to do, you've got to look at like, you know, there's a word called dead. We call it dead wood. Sometimes it's not appropriate, but we've got like, you know, four or five pieces of dead wood. You know,
I don't know what storage was all about on Friday night. Oh my God! I thought it was you back up front there. You're one of them testimonials.
Yeah, that's all right. When I'm 60 years of age, I'll accept that one. Yeah.
No, not in your prime, John.
Not in your prime. Sorry about that. But you know what I mean, Ken. Because obviously there's players there that, you know, are going to be sold. You know, some contacts have run out. No storage and Moreno. You know, will Origi stay? We'll have to wait and see. You know, Mignolet wants a play. It's a hard one. That's a real hard one. You know, there's other players there, Lallana, you know, and you're looking at Lovren. I don't know. There's players there that you don't know next year what the man's going to do. So he's got to sell to get the money in. We've got Danny Ings, which the money's got to come in from Danny Ings if he goes to Southampton. So we'll have a pot there, and obviously where we get and what we bring in for the Champions League, he'll be given a certain pot. We need another massive option up front. A massive option. Take the weight off one of the three lads' shoulders, you know, someone who can play in all the positions. And they don't come cheap. You're looking at a lot of money. But it's got to be top. Whoever he brings in, the three players or whatever he brings, have got to be, you know, top, you know, potentially, or top draw at the moment.
But he's almost a top draw player, though, John. I mean, if I'm a striker, and obviously other clubs are looking at me, and I'm looking at joining Liverpool, I'm scared going, well, will I break into them top three?
Good point. It's a good point. Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of games, and, you know, everyone needs resting. You know, at the end of the day, they're all going to need resting some part of the season, and it's a squad game now the way it's going. You look at City, you know, Aguero's played most of the games, but when he was injured, someone came in, Jesus came in, and, you know, Sané. They've got so many options up front.
Liverpool's got an injury for Wednesday, haven't they, with Firmino? He's still got muscle tear, hasn't he? So you're not sure whether he's involved in that one.
He will play. That's another one. Yeah. You know, two will play and who will play?
I think he said he'd give him a fitness test tomorrow to decide. But, you know, are you more likely to save him for Newcastle and then the home game? I think you probably are, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But that's a big miss, you know, because I'm just talking the options. You know, Origi played in the Porto, and I was there in Porto, and he, in the first 45 minutes, he devalued himself. He was that bad, he devalued himself. He was unbelievably bad. I couldn't believe it, you know. You know, if he was worth 25 million before that game, he was worth 20 million after. So he's got to look at that on Wednesday night. Is he going to play Origi there? Sturridge, and Kenny's quite right. You know, Daniel now has not got what he's got, unfortunately. He's coming back into midfield areas. Sometimes he came onto the back four. Your strikers get on the shoulder of that centre half and you work that centre half. You work in behind him, you work him. The angles like Firmino does, you don't come off him. That's where he wants to see you. He gets a cigar out and his slippers on and you're down to the side of the pitch. It's what he's got to do now. I would play Shaqiri wide. I would play either him or even possibly James Milner wide. And then I would play, obviously, Mane and Salah. But we'll have to wait and see what Jürgen's got up his sleeve.
Kenny, thank you very much indeed. Ken. Lots of great points there. Radio City legends. It's nearly 7:10. We'll do Pens next between Aldo and Sharpie. Now, just before we get to Pens with Aldo and Sharpie, I'm thinking of great sporting celebrations. And the reason I'm thinking of that is, have you seen the video of Andy Sullivan, who's given 500 golf balls and the actual challenge is to hit a hole in one. Have you not watched this, boys?
No.
Oh, you've got it. I thought you'd have seen it.
Yeah.
Your microphone there.
51 years, you mean?
Unbelievable. Watch it when you go home. We'll reflect on it on Thursday. So he's given 500 golf balls, and he takes it really seriously. And the odds of an amateur completing a hole-in-one are approximately 1 in 12,000, but yeah, the odds of a pro are closer to 1 in 3,000. And I've sort of given it away in the fact that...
So he doesn't do it?
No, he does do it. Right. And the celebration is more than if he'd won a tournament. It is just phenomenal. And have a look at it. I'll send you the link when you go home. Andy Sullivan, but it's absolutely class. If you've not seen it at home, proper sporting celebration.
Well, he must have had a hole-in-one in his life, surely.
He has, yeah. But yeah. If I sent you out, I don't know, and asked you to do the hardest thing a footballer could do and gave you 100 balls, there must be a certain element of, you know, is it going to play in my mind? Will I get to the point of doing it? And he comes so close so many times that I think he starts really, you know, getting on top of himself. Anyway, let's get on with Pens. And John, while you've been away, don't worry, Dominic Mattia ably stepped into the breach. How did it go the other day, Sharpie?
He won one and he lost one. That's how it went.
Sharpie 24, Aldo 27. So let's get on to another round of Pens. John, would you like to go first?
I don't mind. This was a Sharpie.
No, go on
then. Yeah, I'll go first. And I'll number uno.
Number one, 2013-2014. In that season, who was the PFA Player of the Year? 2013-2014.
I think it was Suarez. Not 100%.
There you go. While you're moaning, he's actually thinking about the proper answers isn't he?
Like, he's really done his...
What was it?
He's had
Suarez.
Okay.
That's laziness by the by
Why
question.
Why is it lazy?
He's had this question 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
He was phenomenal that year, wasn't he? When he was,
absolutely.
Five.
Number five. Song and artist?
Here we go.
He's smiling now.
Easy peasy. Here we go.
Yeah.
There you go. Did you hear that? Do you want to hear it again? Should just get it back up for you. Hang on, here we go.
Bad name.
Come on, five,
there
four, three.
Loaded Gun.
Loaded Gun by
Bon Jovi.
Well done.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Loaded Gun. What's that? Is that a Bon Jovi song? Christine, is that a Bon Jovi song?
In the heart, isn't it?
No. Keep singing the Nowhere to Run. You Give Love.
Give Love a Bad Name.
A Bad Name. Yeah, that was the actual answer, but it was near.
Set a Sharpie.
That was not.
John, what do you fancy?
I'll go number two.
Number two. What club did Aston Villa sign Idrissa Gueye from? Goodness me, how tough is that one? What club did Aston Villa sign Idrissa Gueye from?
Oh, dear me, not a... I'll see. Leon.
Oh, I thought Leal.
That was a near miss.
Absolutely no idea.
I'd
have said
it was Leal.
Yeah, that was
close though.
One of them, yeah.
Sharpie?
Six.
Number six. What was the score the last time Liverpool faced Newcastle?
So it's at home, isn't it?
Do you want me to tell you what day it was on?
3-1.
It was Boxing Day, wasn't it? Was it Boxing Day?
Yeah,
it was over Christmas, wasn't it?
It was 2-0, wasn't it?
No, it was actually 4-0.
4?
Yeah, 4-0 was the score. Back to you, John.
Was that six, Sharpie?
Yeah.
I'll go number four, then.
Number four. Barcelona named four captains at the start of the season. Messi and Piqué are two, right? So they named four captains at the start of the season, but named two other captains for Barcelona.
I'll
two other captains.
Guess that's easy. Busquets.
Yeah.
One. Oh, TMA. Ah, Suarez.
Yeah, this is Suarez.
Oh, TMA.
No, it was Sergio Roberto was the other captain.
What kind of question's that?
Tough one, isn't
it? It's a football question. Sharpie, the final one to you then. Everton beat Burnley 5-1 earlier in the season.
No.
You've got to get this.
Who scored the Burnley goal?
Oh, you should see Chappie's face there. He's just thinking about all the Everton players, wasn't he?
Chris Wood.
Who, sorry?
Chris Wood.
Well done, mate.
Chris Wood is the answer. Oh, and it's incorrect.
No.
Ben Gibson. Any complaints today?
You need to have a look at those questions.
Only one. What was the last one, number three?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was
all of them. Yeah, you got one right. Sharpie didn't get any right.
So there was mixed questions there. They have to say it was some easy questions.
All right, never mind. I don't think the season's over just yet, but it must be quite close.
Of course, yeah.
Right, OK, we've got time for another caller in a moment or two. Tranmere have their game rearranged for tomorrow night. Waterlogged at the weekend.
Yeah. Unbelievable,
isn't it? There's still everything happening in League Two, isn't it? 9,000 tickets sold already for tomorrow night for Prenton Park. And I think, obviously, you can still get in, so help boost that crowd up. But I went down at the weekend because they unveiled the big mural on the wall. So it's a massive picture of Ian Muir.
Oh, is it?
Have you seen it? It's on the side of a house. So Ian Muir and Ray Mathias on the side of this house. Artists has painted this on. And the game didn't go ahead at the weekend, but Tranmere did a great thing. And Nicola Palios was telling me that all the food that they got for the day, because no one was going to come and eat and whatever, they gave it all to the homeless, the food bank and the local homeless shelter. Yeah. So superb stuff. Well done, Tranmere. And tomorrow night, obviously, it's all still to play for, John.
Yeah, obviously, we like Lowy, but not that much. it's all to play for. Just got to finish strongly by the results went really well for the weekend for Tranmere, which keeps them in with the shout, outside shout. Obviously, an automatic promotion, but they've got to keep the form going in case, you know, the playoffs are at hand.
Who's in pole position?
Is it MK Dons, and then you've got MK Dons, Berry. Mansfield, Berry,
Forest
Green. Those are the other teams involved, aren't they? Right, let's take one more call. Keith is on to talk about the Blues. Evening, Keith.
Cheers, boys,
Hi, Keith.
Hello, Keith.
Yeah, before we start talking about the football, can I just say good job you two have got a footy? Because you're not very good on the music.
How many you got right there, Keith?
I'm good on music, you see, but I was just average at footy. How many would I have got right? The questions I got.
Honestly.
I got a gay right and I got the music question right.
Oh, so you got two right. So you're one better.
Well, I would have got the music one right. Everyone was wrong. So I got two.
It's not good for a man to say he likes Bon Jovi, but you know what? Anyway, Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the lad. He's really good. But I just feel like Everton, you know, how many other teams for the last, two or three years have done what Everton do, like playing without a recognised goal scorer? You know, you see the likes of a Leicester, they've got like four goal scorers. I just think it's a bit strange the way Everton continue to, you know, I mean, it's great that Richarlison and Gilfy scored like 28 goals or something between them.
Yeah.
But it's a bit strange how, I like Calvert-Lewin and I think that he's learning. But you've just got to go and get... I know it's not easy,
Graham,
but you've got to go and get someone.
Yeah, Keith, listen, I agree with you. I just said to one of the other calls before, but would you get strength in the striking department? But you've got to remember is when this manager took over, he had three strikers, if you like. He had Nias, Tosin, who were bought by other people, and Calvert-Lewin was already there. So he already had three strikers there. So I don't know what the remit was in terms of the players he wanted. He probably thought he could get away with those three. Tosin had come in for a lot of money, but not really been given the opportunity. I think the way that he wants to play, the manager wants to play, he needs somebody who's, you know, a striker who's quite mobile and can get in the court. And that's why I think he's plumped for Calvert-Lewin. But basically, for me, Keith, I don't think we've replaced Lukaku's goals in terms of a striker.
No, you're right,
Richarlison's done really well in terms of goal scoring this year, really, really well. But I don't think we can rely on. I think Calvert-Lewin has done it excellent, but he needs to add more goals to his game now. But that will hopefully will come for him.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting one. But I think, again, it depends on who the manager can get out the door.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, is it Nias? Is Morales coming back to out the door? You know, and I think if he can get rid of the players he wants to get rid of, which won't be easy, then I think he'll look to strengthen up front.
Who's at the end of the contracts? I mean, Ashley Williams.
Ashley Williams. I think he's the only one. I think maybe one or two of the younger players, but I think of all the ones, I think Besic will come back, Vlasic will come back, Morales will come back, Ramirez will come back.
Mason Holgate.
Holgate will come back. But Holgate
keep
will come
hold of him, keep hold of him.
Yeah, he'll come back and he'll keep hold of him. But I think there's a few that they want to get. Obviously, Baines and Jagielka's contract's up, I believe.
Yeah. I think they might get another year, mightn't they?
I think they might do, dependent on the Zuma situation in terms of Jags. But I think they're talking about Baines getting one. So it'll be an interesting summer, Keith.
Nice one, boys.
Keith, thank you very much indeed. Great last caller. Let's get some thoughts on Barcelona, Liverpool. How do you play against Messi and Suarez? And what do you do in that away tie?
Play well.
Are you going there just to get a goal? Just to, give yourself a magic?
You can't get a goal because you go there not to get pummeled.
Right.
Man United, what was it? They got beat 3-4, was it? Whatever it was. You go there to match them. Obviously you've got to do a certain job. On Messi, obviously, but you can't man-to-man mark him. You've got to do it as a team. You've got Suarez, DMA, they've got so many fantastic players. But they're fallible. They've shown it, they're not the Barcelona of old. Mm. We've got to go there and try and get a goal, obviously, because they'll come to Anfield looking to get a goal and possibly will get a goal. Mm. I think both teams will score in both games, personally. But go there and if we play to... Hey, look, if you can't go there and take it from me, I played there 3 times for Sociedad. It's one of the best grounds, if not the best ground I've ever played. I love it, except for Anfield, obviously.
You had a good record, didn't you?
I scored 6 in 3 games. But you got to go there and really enjoy it. And get in that shower and bath afterwards and know you give everything and enjoy and express yourself and play really, really well, because there's no better place, I don't think, to play football.
Sharpie, 10 seconds. Will Liverpool get something here?
I think it'll be tough for them. Mm. Certainly in the first leg. Listen, at the end of the day, you just want to stay in the tie. And it's as simple as that. And I think it'll be tight. I'm not sure if they'll win or draw. But I think if the tie's tight going into Anfield, it'll be a good result.
Sharpie Alder, thank you very much. Indeed, that was the Radio City Legends. Boys will return on Thursday to do it all again.